Brahmanas of Vrajacharya Stata Sri Shabadas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Devaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So what should we read about tonight, devotees? Any suggestions? Our fearless leader, what would you suggest? I must choose a verse. Okay, well, let's see. Let's just open it up and see what we have here. Okay, this is a verse we don't normally or often give class on. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute. Text 20. Ahama atma gudakesha sarvabhuta shayastita aham adish chamadyam cha Bhutanam anta eva cha. Translation. I am the Supersoul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Gudakesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant because Arjuna is above such darkness. The Personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Krishna first informs Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire cosmic manifestation by dint of his primary expansion. Before the material creation, the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansion, accepts the Purusha incarnations, and from him everything begins. Therefore, he is Atma, the soul of the Mahatattva, the universal elements. The total material energy is not the cause of the creation. Actually, the Mahavishnu enters into the Mahatattva, the total material energy. He is the soul. When Mahavishnu enters into the manifested universes, he again manifests himself as the Supersoul in each and every entity. We have experience that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Without the existence of the spiritual spark, the body cannot develop. Similarly, the material manifestation cannot develop unless the Supreme Soul, Krishna, enters, as stated in the Subal Upanishad, Prakrityadi Sarvabhutantar Yami Sarvasheshi Cha Narayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing as the Supersoul in all manifested universes. The three Purusha avatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They're also described in the Satvata Tantra. Vishnu's Tutrini Rupani Purushakyan Yato Vidu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests three features as Karanadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Shiradakshay Vishnu in this material manifestation. The Mahavishnu, or Karanadakshay Vishnu, is described in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 47. Ya karanarnava jale bhajati smayoga nidram. The Supreme Lord Krishna, the cause of all causes, lies down in the cosmic ocean as Mahavishnu. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestation, and the end of all energy. Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhuta Shayastita Aham Adish Chamadyam Cha Bhutanam Anta Eva Cha. I am the Supersoul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantika Vancha Kalpatrubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, this verse is encouraging us further to surrender to Krishna. Yes, we should try to give our lives and our hearts to Krishna. Material life means that we have given our hearts elsewhere. Yes, in one way or another, in one lifetime or another, we're giving our hearts and our lives and everything to one person or one group of people or some cause or our country perhaps or perhaps to our occupation. We are giving our hearts and our lives to all these different persons or things, entities. But actually we should give our hearts to Krishna, because Krishna is worthy of giving our hearts to, and Krishna can reciprocate very nicely and suitably if we give our hearts, or you could say, to whatever degree we give our hearts and ourselves to him. He can reciprocate very nicely. The others, they cannot. The others cannot do that. We give our lives, give our hearts to our family members, but they, of course, they may do so many things, actually. Even they may cheat us, or they may leave us. But even if they don't do some nasty things like that, even if they are relatively very nice, but sooner or later, they will die. And that is, in a sense, the greatest type of cheating, to die and leave us all behind to struggle on until we die. Or the government. The government. I was reading, you know, it's quite rare, but sometimes I read some sort of newspaper or something like that. Maybe, I don't know, a few times a year. So, not long ago, in the last few weeks or so, I read there was an evaluation of the governments of the world, and the evaluation on Africa was most countries, most governments, say, are not in control of their countries. And they said South Africa is borderline whether the government is controlling the country or not. Only in certain respects. Yes. So the government, just like in Russia, we go to Russia fairly regularly, a couple of times a year. The government was telling everyone, just surrender to us and we will deliver you from all problems. Yes, we'll look after you for your lives. You can depend on us. Just work very hard for us. So they did that. And the government was paying them something. And they are putting something aside. Unlike what you might think, they were paid. And people were paid different amounts. If you're a manager, you were paid more. This is in the communist times, it was like that also. So, but they weren't paid much. Maybe 50 rubles a month. About $50. And they would try to save. Maybe 5 rubles a month. So after you worked, do a little calculation, 60 rubles a year. If you work for 40 years, does that make sense? Or 30 or 40 years? Say 40 years. And you're earning you're saving 60 rubles a year. That means by the time of retirement, you have 2,400, am I right? Rubles. Your life savings. In those days, the devotees were telling me, when they first went to Russia, they could fly from Moscow to Vladivostok. It is a 9-hour flight. Say, it's more than from here to India. They could fly there for $5. Yes. Anyway. And it was like that. Everything was very cheap. So you saved up, you got your 2,400 rubles. But then the communist government decided that no, we will give up communism, we'll become capitalists. So they all lined up, all the good communists lined up and became capitalists, and they all took everything. They all took everything and didn't leave very much for the people. Yes, One man. He's now one of the richest men in the world. A few years ago, he was a communist. He didn't have anything. But he, when they divided everything up amongst the, you know, the in crowd, he got one oil field. Now he's a multi-billionaire. We were talking the other day about how quite a few airplanes disappeared. Big, like 747 size. They disappeared. No one knew where they went. But they sold them. The government people sold them to some other governments, kept the money. But the average person, and then everything went downhill. So from 1 ruble to the dollar, now there are 28,000 rubles to the dollar in about 10 years. So your life savings of 2,400 rubles is now a little less than 10 American cents. You cannot buy a liter of milk for it. But they gave their hearts, they gave their lives. Oh, they gave their lives. They worked very hard. So these people, they cannot help us, they cannot help themselves. But Krishna can help us. Ye yatamam prapajyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. Krishna says, as they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. Krishna is able to reciprocate. He's able to help his devotees. Here in this verse, he's explaining some of his features. Why it is he's able to do these things. All sorts of wonderful things. First of all, aham atma. I am the soul, Guda Kesha, conqueror of sleep. Yes, Krishna is the super soul in the heart of every living entity. So Krishna is controlling everything, the movements of all living entities. So if we surrender to Krishna, he can control things in all nice ways to help us. It helps to have friends in high places. Oh, it helps. So, when you have a friend in that high place, that really helps. So then, whatever you need, whatever your situation, Krishna will help in such wonderful ways. Actually, the devotees find this. Of course, sometimes Krishna gives us a little test, or even a big test, just to spice things up and make things exciting, just so you don't become apathetic and just think you can cruise along, just so you keep on your toes. Prabhupada said that sometimes Krishna consciousness is like a chutney. Yeah, sometimes it's like a chutney. Sometimes it's so hot, you don't know if you can handle it. You don't know if you can manage it. But at the same time, it's so sweet, you can't resist it. So you just carry on, even though you may feel a little burnt sometimes. Yes, you carry on, because it's Krishna. Krishna is reciprocating and dealing with his devotees. Yes. And Krishna is squeezing. Just like if if you're a teenager, you may get some pimples. So a pastime of teenagers is squeeze the pimple. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, or if you have a boil, you have a boil. You know, I never had a boil in my life till I became a devotee. Then I got a boil and I thought, gee whiz, this is not so good. And one devotee came and said, "Ah, you got the mercy. Purification." So anyway, you know, if you've got a boil, eventually you've got to come to the point of squeezing it, getting all the gunk out, all the poison out. Yes, so you have to squeeze it. Prabhupada said, you can't just, or it doesn't really help to blow on a boil. Because I don't know how frequently any of you happen to get boils. But, you know, if you keep on a solid diet of alu bini cooked with plenty of sunflower oil, then you'll probably get a few boils. But anyway, if you have a boil, if you just blow on it, then your breath and whatever may sort of cool it momentarily, but then a few seconds later, it's hot again. Boil means body's overheating in some respect. So eventually you've got to squeeze it, and when you squeeze it, it hurts a bit, but you get all the poison out. And once you've got all the poison out and you clean things up a bit, then you just got to tolerate the after effects for a while, just that latent pain, a little bit of residual pain for a while, and then it's good. It's very nice. Then you're free from that nasty boil which was causing pain and which could have gone on to become some serious problem. So, Lord Chaitanya said that whether you make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, or whether you crush me in your embrace, but still you're always my worshipful Lord. I don't know if any of you have ever been hugged by His Holiness Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj, the full-scale hug. Well, it feels like you're a boil and it's about to, you know, burst out somewhere. So Krishna, sometimes he squeezes us. Actually, it's a loving embrace. It's an affectionate embrace. But because our bodies, because we don't have spiritual bodies yet, you know, with a spiritual body, you can do so many things. You can hug a spiritual body, you know, unlimitedly. There won't be any pain. No, when you've got a spiritual body, you can take any amount of prasad and you never have to stop. When you have a spiritual body, oh, just like, who was that? Oh, I forget exactly who it was, but one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, he was a great dancer. Sometimes he would dance for 72 hours, non-stop. And that was not just a sort of mild Swami step, you know? Left, right, left, sort of that style. No. That was the flying kirtan dance. Just full scale. So he would dance for 72 hours. And he would approach Lord Chaitanya and pray, "Please give me wings, so I can fly and dance." And even after 72 hours, he wasn't tired. But normally the devotees who are leading the kirtan, after 72 hours, they were a bit tired. So, but it said that he would dance for 72 hours in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had a transcendental body. So when you get a transcendental body, then you cannot die. Even if you want to die, you cannot die. Transcendental body is like that. But our material bodies, sometimes we get hugged in an affectionate way, but we may feel pain. So sometimes Krishna hugs us, and it's like he's squeezing the boil, trying to get some of the gunk out. But actually it's an affectionate hug, but a forceful affectionate hug. Maybe he empowered Govinda Maharaj in that regard. So it hugs and it hurts. Sometimes it really hurts. And you wonder, oh, when will he stop hugging me? But he's just trying to get the last of the poison out. So sometimes Krishna puts a little pressure on us as devotees. This you can expect. If you think, as some people do, that by becoming a devotee, that I will, you know, just live happily in my house in Newlands West, and it'll be happy days, they all lived happily ever after, there will be money, there will be health, and there will be kuch kuch hota hai to watch and all sorts of things. And this way, we will have a jolly old life. What a nice life we will have by the grace of God. You won't get it, at least not in those terms. We were saying the other day that people often pray to God, give me money. Give me health. Give me a better job. These types of things. I would say probably a few times every month since I've been in South Africa, at least that's now 21 years. I would say a few times a month people have come up to me and told me, you know, they were looking for the Swami, and they said, you know, Swami, I've got headache. Won't go away. I got problem. And they ask me to do something for the headache. Pray to Krishna. Yes, they want Krishna to cure the headache. So in other words, they're thinking that Krishna is a replacement for Disprin. This is God. He is replacement for Disprin. They want a new house. They think God is now replacement for Pam Golding or some real estate agent. Better job. They think he's now become employment agency. Classified ad section. No. Krishna consciousness means we're going to get purified. That means, purified means, there's all sorts of nonsense there, but we've got to get rid of it. But there's a problem. There's a big problem. That is that we think that the nonsense is nice. So, if Krishna wants to take some of it away, then we feel, oh, no, 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 that's not good. Anyway, Krishna here is saying, Aham Atma Gudakesha. I am the super soul. So as devotees, we should try to have or develop or cultivate the faith that if I serve Krishna, if I do my best to surrender to Krishna and serve him and try to please him and glorify him and follow his program, then Krishna will help me. And whatever happens in my life, it will be like that, that Krishna is helping me. So if Krishna applies a little pressure, squeeze, to try to get a little bit of the poison to pop out of our heads, don't hold it against him, okay? Don't hold it against him. He's a nice fellow. He doesn't mean any harm. But the problem is that we think that something which is poison is nectar. This is the problem. Yes. In other words, our material attachments. We're thinking like that. But Krishna is so kind. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can find it there. I think Madhya Leela somewhere. Krishna says that sometimes my devotee thinks that something which is poison is nectar. And he prays to me for it. And Krishna says, however, I am very intelligent. So therefore, I do not give it to him. Yes. In fact, Krishna says, I deal with him in such a way that he will give up that desire. Yes. So what does this mean? In certain respects, it means that we may want something, thinking it's nectar, but actually, it's poison for our Krishna consciousness. And therefore Krishna may not allow us to have it. So then we become frustrated. Why can't I get this thing? So, but Krishna, he's just squeezing, putting the squeeze on a bit, trying to get that poison out, so that eventually, from feeling that, why can't I get it, I want it, I need it, I must have it, Krishna, you better give it to me. After a while, we feel, all right, I can let it go. That means some of the poison came out. We got purified a little. And we've come a little bit more to the point where we can accept any situation and just serve Krishna in that situation without being worried. What about me? What's in it for me? So like this, Krishna. Krishna is the super soul seated in the hearts of all living entities. And for his devotees, he is very kind. He is very nice. So Krishna consciousness means we have to learn how to depend on Krishna and how to become able to accept what Krishna gives when he gives it without getting into some sort of complaints program. Yes, without getting into something like that. What do they call it? The blame game. It didn't work out my way. So I get into the blame game. But Krishna consciousness means we come to that point of being able to accept Krishna's mercy. And as you find yourself being able to accept Krishna's mercy more and more, that means you're making advancement. Yes. And getting some realization of how Krishna is there and becoming able to accept Krishna in your life. So that is very good. That's very nice. Just serving Krishna. Just like now, on the other end of the scale. Just like now, you may have seen on TV, or I even heard it was in the newspapers, there is the Kumbh Mela. Oh, Kumbh Mela, big thing. I heard it was on CNN. All these big, big things. So Kumbh Mela, what does that mean? Oh, it means give me a house and a car and a color TV. I'm Jai Jagadisha Hare. on a big scale, big time now, very big time. Oh, yes. Yes. So we've been explaining the last few days at the different programs, what is the Kumbh Mela, actually? Yeah, first of all, Kumbh Mela, it's not that spiritual. It's not that transcendental, I'm afraid. It's a little bit on the material side, actually. Yeah. You can go into the... We have some web pages, if you use the internet, and you'll find the devotees have explained what it is. And what it is that if you read the eighth canto, of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the demigods and the demons, they were vying with each other, back and forth, who's the best. It's a bit of a long story, but eventually they got the idea that let us churn the milk ocean so we can get all sorts of nice things out of it, and we'll really get ahead and we'll show you. And the others were thinking, we'll show you that we are really opulent and powerful. So again, it's a bit of a long story. It takes up quite a bit of the eighth canto. But they picked up Mandara Mountain, carried it to the ocean there, ocean of milk, and put it, then the Lord appeared in the form of Kurma, the tortoise form. They put that Mandara Mountain on his back and then used it as a churning rod by putting Vasuki, the celestial serpent, around it. So then they were pulling him like this, pulling him. And the demons, there's all sorts of nice descriptions there. First of all, the demons, they picked up the tail of Vasuki. There was the tail there, then he was going all the way round the hill and back, and the head was on the other side. The demons picked up the tail, and demigods picked up the head. But then the demons thought, oh no, we are such big heroes. How come we've got the tail? We should have the head. So they came and told the demigods, we want the head. The demigods, being a bit more sort of humble, gave them the head. So then they were pulling on the head. But then Vasuki decided to sort of exhale very strongly. Some of his kind of internal airs came out. And it was not very nice. And the demons got it all over them. And that's described there. And they got a bit messed up by that. Anyway, they were pulling, they were doing this churning of the Mandara Mountain. It was going back and forward and around and back like that. And so many things were coming out of the milk ocean. So many things. The goddess of fortune came out. Uchaishrava, the horse of Indra, came out. And so many things came out. There are many, many things. And the last thing, and many people came out for that matter, and the last thing or last person who came out was Dhanvantari, who is a Shaktivesh avatar of Lord Vishnu. He came out with one pot. That pot was full of nectar, heavenly nectar. Yes. It, if you drink it, and if you're old, you become young. If you're dead, you come back to life. And whatever you are, your life is extended tremendously. So therefore it's called the nectar of immortality, although it is not exactly that. But It gives tremendous increase in lifespan and opulence and strength and all these types of things. So, Dhanvantari came with this pot. And you know what the word for pot is in Sanskrit? It's kumbha. So he came out with this kumbha. The festival is called Kumbha Mela, the festival of the pot. So he came out and everyone saw, oh, who is this extraordinary looking person? And look at this pot. Oh! And then they understood that in it was this nectar of immortality or the special elixir type. So they wanted it. But Dhanvantari, he gave it to the demigods. So then a sort of a fight developed, and the demons snatched the pot, the kumbha. And they thought, we will drink it, and then we'll defeat the demigods, we'll take over the universe. So when Krishna, or Lord Vishnu actually, incarnated as Mohini, the female form of the Supreme Lord, very stunning looking, most unique actually. So she came, and the demons, they saw her, and they thought, wow, look at this. They were just bewildered, actually. They were completely bewildered by her beauty. And they thought, we must establish a relationship here. So, of course, that was what she wanted in a sense, because she wanted to get the pot back for the demigods. So she started flattering them. Oh, look at you. Oh, you are such heroes. And the demons thought, yes, of course we are. And you are such gentlemen. Yes, she has recognized us. Oh, you are so valiant and chivalrous. They were just lapping this up completely, just drowning in it and losing their intelligence in the process. And you, oh, you are so humble. Yes. And things like this. Until she had them, as they say, in the palm of her hand. And she could have told them to jump. They would have all just jumped. And what did they say? Asked how high as they were coming down or something like that. Someone told me once. It was like that. They were just totally, what do they call it? Infatuated. Just totally, completely gone over Mohini. And they were trying to make advances towards her, but she, of course, you know, totally in command of the situation. She said, well, maybe we can get to know each other better, but why don't you just give me that pot? So he said, oh, sure, of course. So she took the pot and gave it to the demigods. And the demons realized, ah, she fooled us. But they were still too bewildered. They just couldn't do anything. So then, but, one of them, he kind of kept his head together a little. Rahu is famous now as a planet. So Rahu, he snuck in amongst the demigods, and as Mohini, as this pot was being passed around, then Rahu, it came to him. And no one had noticed that this was a demon. So he took it. And some of that nectar went into his mouth. But then Chandra, the moon god, turned around and saw, oh, it's Rahu. Because they have inimical relationship since time immemorial. It's Rahu. And Mohini turned around and quickly, Sudarshan Chakra. And Rahu's head just went, knocked, cut off. But, some of the nectar was already in his mouth and throat. It hadn't gone down, but it was in that part. So his head didn't die. And his head became a planet. So whenever there's an eclipse, means Rahu is attacking the moon or the sun, whichever. But the body dropped dead. And he was holding the pot. But the body dropped dead. So the pot dropped. And some of that nectar came splashing out. And it landed in four places. Most of it in Allahabad or Varanasi. Some smaller amount in Ujjain. Some other small amount in... I forget. But there are four places. So they have these mailers in these four places. But the big one is every 12 years. And particularly the big day is the dark moon day, the Amavasya. Because that's when Rahu is more present. So there's more nectar around. The nectar is falling at that time. So, people, they want that material benefit. This is basically what Kumbh Mela is about, with all due respect to the Kumbh Mela. It's sort of about how to increase your material life and improve it and so on, even on a fantastic scale. But our devotees go there. We have a 3-acre site. So our devotees will be having big preaching programs, going out doing Harinam all day, every day. Oh, fantastic. Book distribution. Everyone takes a book. It's amazing. Just amazing. And everybody who is anybody in, religious India, they're all there. Beginning with the Nagabhadas. All they have is their trident. That's it. Nothing else. And they are the first ones. They're allowed to bathe first. In fact, if you try to go ahead of them on those big days, then you may get one of their tridents. They're pretty way out fellows. Yes, so as devotees, we're not really so worried about these material things. But we would like how to surrender to Krishna, how to learn how to surrender to Krishna. How can I develop more faith in Krishna so that I'll be more prepared to surrender, more willing to surrender, and less inclined to hold back and just remain doubtful, but more willing to accept Krishna, take shelter of him. This is Krishna consciousness. And if we follow the process very nicely, then when we get put in these situations where we have to surrender and accept a little bit of difficulty in devotional service, then we see in the end Krishna brings us through. So then our faith in Krishna increases. Very, very nice. So like this, we see Krishna intervening in our lives. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness sometimes is an adventure in surrender. You've got to surrender more, but you don't know what will happen. Is Krishna really there, or will I just sort of fall off the edge or something? But no, Krishna's there, so if we surrender to him and try and serve him, then he'll always help us, give us his mercy. And this way we develop more faith to surrender more and more and more until one becomes completely surrendered. And when you're completely surrendered, Krishna surrenders to you. And that's the perfection of life. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Says Upadrashtana Mantacha Bhartabhokta Maheshwara Paramatmeti Chapyukto Dehe Smin Purishamparam. That within this body there's another person who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as overseer and permitter, and who's known as the Supersoul. So he's overseeing and permitting. He sees birth and death, that you get them when you deserve. And he permits that you get what you deserve, but he doesn't permit you to get what you don't deserve on the material platform. But for the devotees, Krishna intervenes. Krishna himself intervenes in the life of the devotees and makes the arrangements for the devotees. Special arrangements. So he takes over the function of the Supersoul for the devotees. Oh, it's a bit late. I think we'll just have to finish. Mm-hmm. How would one know? Well, you know, if you're completely surrendered, if you're really completely surrendered, you'd know, because Krishna would walk up to you and say, I surrender to you. So then you'd know you're completely surrendered. Yes. But degree of surrender means that we're more willing to serve Krishna and less concerned about ourselves, basically. It's basically like, in the beginning, it's like, five for me, one for Krishna, and five for me. After a little while, you say, okay, two for Krishna, and four for me. Then gradually it comes, everything for Krishna. And we don't worry about ourselves, because we know Krishna is looking after us. We don't have to make some big effort for ourselves. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.